Of course, good morning. The Lord be with you. It is a privilege to be able to gather together this morning, not only with so many from across the Lutherans for Life current landscape, but also with distinguished guests and forebears in the mission that we have. Lutherans for Life has a grand history. As a matter of fact, if you had not taken notice, in 2019, we'll be celebrating our fourth decade. So in 2019, that means we'll turn 21 years old, just like all of you are. Lutherans for Life has a grand history. Our beginnings embodied a bold ambition. And today we are going to see just how much greatness has gone before us who are here now. As we review that legacy, we have to wonder whether we are living up. In fact, Christendom and humankind naturally ask how well we are carrying on and carrying out the mission. We hear frequently from individuals and life chapters and life teams and state federations and federation presidents and staff members and board members, are we doing enough? And the Bible gives us a very encouraging answer in the book of Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short. So the answer to the question, are we doing enough, of course, is no. No, we are not doing enough. We are not doing enough to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not doing enough to respect and protect life in all its states and stages. We are not doing enough to reach out in love. We are not doing enough to save those who are in need of rescue. In fact, it's not only that we're not doing enough, but even what we are doing doesn't measure up, right? Even all our righteous acts, that means our best efforts, are like a filthy rag. Now, we know this to be true in our own personal experience because we commiserate with St. Paul, who says, the good that I want to do, for some reason, that I simply cannot seem to accomplish, and yet the evil that I hate, this is what I find at work. Jesus was very clear in his words to his disciples, apart from me, you can do, yeah, not just even a little, but absolutely nothing. So that is the bad news for us today. We aren't doing enough. The good news is, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter. Why doesn't it matter whether or not we do enough? Because our God, our loving, compassionate, powerful God says, hey, I don't take any pleasure in the death of anyone. In fact, God himself desires even more than we do that all people should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ our Lord. And this God, the one who created us and who made everything that we see, who orders all of human history to its destiny, he is the one who is able to do, as St. Paul says, far more abundantly than all we could even ask or imagine. And this is his promise. In the prophet Isaiah, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And whereas the sinful nature might view that as a word of discouragement for us who know the Lord Jesus Christ and have been redeemed, it is a word of relief. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Thanks be to God. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, so that there is seed given to the sower and bread for the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from your mouth. No, he says, that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Our Lord Jesus has said, upon this rock I am building my church, and the gates of hell itself shall not prevail against it. Well, how does God do this? How does God accomplish this great mission if we are not doing enough? Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he does not have any idea how. The earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come, and the harvest does come. Jesus has said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And that is not only true for us, it is true for the people that we seek to serve. When St. Peter and Paul preached in the book of Acts, there is this little known but very encouraging statement in the 13th chapter. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of God. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. A more familiar statement of the same truth comes from the book of Romans. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So Jesus says, not one of those whom you have given me, Heavenly Father, has been lost. Because I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Do you know what this means, guys? This means that in the mission of God, we can't screw it up. We cannot fail. God's word, God's grace, will accomplish everything that he has sent it to accomplish, whether we do a lot or a little, whether we are around or not around at all. And even should we fail, God has foreseen that and incorporated it into the acting of his grace. At one and the same time, this is offensive to our human pride, which says, wait a minute, but what I'm doing is important. And at the same time, it lifts a burden from our shoulders and places us firmly in the freedom of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which reminds us, God doesn't need you, but he wants you anyway. You get to be a part of what he is doing. So, asking the question, are we doing enough, for Christians is a nonsensical question. It's the wrong question. It's a bad question. What question should we be asking? Well, remember the parable of the sower. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered it, some fell upon the path, and some fell more on the rocky places, and some fell among thorns. And some, a small fraction, fell in the good soil. But it produced so much that it more than made up for what the farmer had invested. Just so Jesus says, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over how many sinners who repent? One. That's the number that God uses. One. It's always one. One at a time. But Jesus says, don't you worry about that. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Are we doing enough? Doesn't even matter. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. Sinful humankind measures so that we can find out who gets the credit, and we can compete, and we can compare, and we can feel good about ourselves. But the Lord looks on the heart. He sees things in a different way. The better question, rather than asking, are we doing enough, is to ask, is God doing enough? For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And God is at work in you, whether you see it or not. Remember the parable of the sheep and the goats. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison. I was a stranger, and you visited me, and you took care of me. And what is the attitude of the sheep, the righteous ones? They say, Lord, we drop the ball every single time. Don't leave it up to us, because it won't get done. And that's our attitude as Christians. Not to look at our own good works or our own efforts, but to rest completely in seeing Jesus and in seeing him where he has promised to be, in his word and in his church and in the people around us. So, you don't even have to settle it in your minds beforehand how you will give witness. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, says Jesus, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. Everyone who belongs to the Lord, everyone whom God has chosen for salvation, will be in his heavenly kingdom. Period. For it is not you who speak. It is the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And remember, God's word does not, cannot, will not fail. So, I planted and Apollos watered. Dr. Nafsker planted. Reverend Feskins watered. Dr. Lamb planted. Pastor Solomink watered. Those who went before us planted, and we watered, and God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. For God works, and God works. Well, Pastor Solomink, that's great. Why should we even try then? How can we who have died to sin live in it any longer? It's not about how hard we try. It is about the gifts that God has to give us. Our mission is not a burden. It is not a task on our to-do list or something that we must carry out or succeed at or measure up to or check off. It is a privilege. It is a gift to have a front row seat to witness what God is doing, the miracles that he works by his word in saving and gladdening the hearts of those who are hurting like us. That in itself is a privilege. That's exactly where we want to be as Christians. We just want to be where our Father is watching what he is doing. But God has done even better. He has said, I want you to take part in this. I want you to participate. Glory of glories, we get to have a hand in what God is doing, what God is accomplishing. So, a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, and we are healthy trees. Why? For I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, thanks be to God, but Christ who does live in me and in you. And the life that we now live in the flesh, we live simply by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. In fact, this word from Jesus in Matthew, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I would challenge us not to hear that so much as a threat, but as a promise. You are going to be made perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He has begun to make you like himself, and he who has begun this good work in you will carry it on to its completion. How do we go about it? How do we go about carrying out the mission of the Lord? What's the right thing to do? What are the right times, the right people, the right situations? Again, our gracious God says, you let me handle that. You just celebrate the gifts that I have given you. Receive and enjoy. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, then in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who bakes cakes in the baking and eating of cake, the one who sews quilts, the one who mows grass, the one who carries boxes or picks up groceries or sits down next to a hurting person and puts an arm around them and listens, the one who does crossword puzzles or sends emails or posts silly things on Facebook. That's how you serve, in the way that the Spirit has given you the gift to serve. It's a privilege, not a burden. The Spirit gives many different gifts. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And God will use that. As a matter of fact, God has positioned you right where you are as a prism through which he shines and reflects the light of his gospel in Jesus Christ, so that that light in its separate colors radiates exactly how and where he wants it to. All by itself, without any effort on our part. In our hearts, we focus on Christ the Lord. And this is our theme for our upcoming conferences this fall and for Life Sunday and the year of 2018. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. What does this mean? How do we honor Christ the Lord as holy? Well, we recognize he is Lord. And how do we recognize that Christ is Lord? Simply by trusting. Trusting that he is God and we are not. And expecting good from him despite our sinfulness, because he has taken away our sins and given us the hope of eternal life. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. We simply attend to the hope that is in us, right? We take out the gift which God has given, and we enjoy that gift, a gift which is not just for us to have, but for us also to use in all that we do. And God gives the growth. Are we doing enough? Are we doing enough to live up to the dreams and the visions of those who have gone before us? Are we doing enough to benefit and impact the people around us? Are we doing enough for God's mission to be done? No. We're not, and we never will. But it doesn't matter, because God is doing enough. And in addition to that, he's chosen to do that through us. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, all by yourself, you have created and redeemed and called every single human being. And that includes us. We give you thanks that you have involved us in your life as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That you have involved us in your joy, in your kingdom, and in your mission. We ask only that you will so focus our hearts and fill us with the hope of being in your presence now and unto eternity, that it will just shine forth in everything that we do, so that as healthy trees, we bear fruit, fruit that is for the healing of the nations. Hear us and be with us today. Bless those who will share the gifts that you have given us in times past. Bless our fellowship with your Spirit so that we may continue to grow in appreciating and celebrating all that you have to give us for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.